Merry Christmas and welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and his message on the plan for Christmas. The Encouraging Word. Dr. Wilton will be taking us to the book of Luke, chapter 1, in just a moment, but he also wants you to know that, especially here in the week of Christmas, this can be filled with both mountaintop but also valley experiences. And if you're in that valley and need someone to pray with, we're here for you. 24 hours a day, you can reach us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you. And if you need some help connecting to some resources, we've got those as well. And you can see them online at tewonline.org. That's T-E-W for The Encouraging Word, online.org. We really would love to connect with you. And now today's message, The Plan for Christmas with Dr. Don Wilton.
We got to discover something about the plan for Christmas, this Jesus, this Christ of Christmas. Let's read together. I'm going to read a few verses for you in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. The Bible says that in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Now the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said to her, "Greetings, Mary, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and you'll give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is actually in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. And so at that time, Mary got ready and she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." May the Lord write this remarkable account on our hearts today. The plan for Christmas. I want to begin today, and I'm going to submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that God is going to speak to our hearts at a very deep level. So you need your pens out, get ready to take some notes, and we're going to study God's Word together. I want to submit to you that there are several very important facts related to God's plan for Christmas. Here's where we're going to begin. Number one, write this down. In fact, I cannot say anything about Christmas and about the Christ of Christmas until we cover this first point. It is absolutely essential. If I don't make this point, we've got nowhere to go because we've had nowhere to begin. So here it is. Number one, the plan was conceived in the heart of God. That's point number one. Where did Christmas come from? Where did this celebration come from? Where did it all begin? The plan was conceived in the heart of God. Now, we are familiar with the word conceive, conception. What does that mean? It means to begin. It means the moment at which it all began. The joy that we receive down the road began at the moment of conception. We understand what we mean by that term. Now watch this, folks. Very importantly, this is very, very critical to the Christmas message, to everything about the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that you and I have ever said or sung about, whether in Latin, Greek, Hebrew, or English, it was conceived in the heart of God. That means that it began at the beginning. It always is. So let's take a closer look at this. If this plan was conceived in the heart of God, number one, it was conceived in the heart of God because God always is. Go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I'm not trying to be semantic with you. I'm not trying to use some kind of phraseology to throw a curveball at you. The plan was conceived in the heart of God, number one, because God always is. Now, we many times refer to God as time past, time present, time future. Yes, even the Bible talks about God who is the Alpha and the Omega. But what it means to talk about God as the Alpha and the Omega is that God is God, and because God is God, God never was, never is, and never will be. God always is because God is. God always is because God can never, has never, and will never change. God is who God is. It has always been that way. I want to make an announcement this Christmas. Everything about the Lord Jesus Christ and the birth upon in the manger and His ultimate death upon the cross is because God is. And what happened in that immaculate conception, that moment at which Mary became so highly favored because the Holy Spirit came upon her, God simply was making a statement about His sovereign glory. And He was standing up and saying, I am who I am, and what is about to happen is because I am. God never changed His mind. God never added a rider to the theory. God is. Number two, the plan was conceived in the heart of God because Jesus Christ always is. Well, if you take your Bible like I take mine, and I go into the Old Testament, get to Malachi, and then I start with Matthew. I'm in the New Testament, the New Covenant. It's all about Jesus Christ. Well, did that begin with Jesus Christ? And did He begin at the moment that He was conceived, and we're going to talk about that in a moment? No. The plan was conceived in the heart of God, who always is, because Jesus Christ always is. So, take, for example, John chapter 1 and verse 1. What is John 1 and verse 1? That's in the New Testament. In the beginning was the Word, who is Jesus, and the Word was with God. That means that He was fused, He was one, He was in unison, He was identical to, He was the same as God, and the Word is God. So what is happening in this plan concerning the Christ of Christmas? Now listen carefully. What is happening here is that God, who is sovereign, is making what He is become what He is at the moment that He is when Jesus Christ came to this earth. And when Jesus was born upon in the manger, what happened? God just simply declared himself is. I am, he said, because of who I am. This plan was conceived in the heart of God because God is. Number two, because Jesus Christ always is. And number three, because the Holy Spirit always is. Now, folks, listen carefully here. In this passage, we are presented with somewhat of a predicament for some people because we teach and we understand the inauguration of the Holy Spirit that took place at Pentecost. Quite correctly, Jesus said, after I go, I'm going to send my Comforter. Was that the first time that the Holy Spirit came to this earth? Nope, not at all. In fact, the Bible tells us that God, who is Jesus Christ, who is His Holy Spirit, made a visitation upon the earth. And this particular passage tells us that this immaculate conception was connected into the person and work of the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus Christ, who is God, and that as a result of that, even Elizabeth was affected by it, and she became filled with the Holy Spirit in her own circumstances as she walked side by side along with Mary. All right, there's our starting point. We're going to talk about the plan for Christmas. Let's begin where we need to begin. Number one, the plan was conceived in the heart of God. Number two, the plan was delivered by the angel of God. I know there's so much interest in angels. I've said this many times. I'll say it again and again and again. Angels are real. If you want to know a little more about angels, I am writing a book on it. You can call our church office. You can order the series of tapes, the series that I preached some time ago. Bless your heart. I've come to understand what the Bible teaches about angels. Moms and dads, I want you to know on the authority of God's Word, you can have a conversation with the Lord, ask Him to send His angel to come and to protect your children. You can do it. When you send your son, daughter off to college, they get in that motor car and they can't see over the mirror because there's so much stuff packed into their motor car. You just turn to heaven and say, Lord, please send your angel to come and watch over my son, my daughter. And we could go on and on. But something happened here, folks, when God's servant, Gabriel, delivered the message that God had concerning this plan. It was very specific in its nature. Number one, the plan was delivered by the angel of God at a specific point in time. Verse 26 said it was in the sixth month. Any questions? I'm going to make an announcement in just a moment concerning this plan. Number one, this plan is very specific in time. God is the God of order. God orders our days, our lives. We are a purpose-driven people. God is in control. Number two, this plan was delivered by the angel of God to a specific place, Nazareth. Number three, this plan was delivered for a specific person. Her name in this instant was Mary. Now, folks, I can't avoid this. I wish that I could circumvent this. And number four, my friends, this plan was delivered by the angel of God with a specific message. What was the message? Do not be afraid. You'll give birth to a child. You'll give birth to a son child. A male child. You are to give him the name Jesus. Now, folks, evidently we've got a predicament in the United States of America because there are people trying to rewrite the Bible. There are people today in America who say this is not good. What we need to do is we need a neuter the Bible, take all the he's and the she's out of it. Let's just call all of this it's. Let's just say it happened to it. Let's just eliminate God's order for the universe. Let's just take all masculinity and femininity out of God's order. Let's neutralize this entire world and neuter all the people upon this world. We're living today in a day of compromise. I even read this past week that Hallmark cards and others are now making Christmas cards that read Happy Chrismukka. That's a cross between the wonderful Jewish celebration of Hanukkah and the wonderful Christmas celebration called Christmas. Why have we got to send out cards now called Happy Chrismukka? So that we don't offend somebody. Folks, I've got lots of wonderful Jewish friends. I have never in my entire life not celebrated with them the celebration that they have related to Hanukkah. I don't have a problem with Muslims celebrating Ramadan. I don't have a problem with any religion in the world doing whatever it is they need to do. But I'm going to tell you something, that when it comes down to the Christ of Christmas, it was a specific time, it was a specific place, it was to a specific person, and it was a specific message, and it was about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And I want you to know that I am a Christian man, and this Christmas I am going to celebrate a plan that was conceived in the heart of God and delivered to the likes of me by the angel of God. That's what I'm going to do. Three things I want you to note about this instrument, Mary, and her troubled heart. Number one, that God's plan that he was about to deliver was pleasing to him. The angel said it before he delivered the message, said, "You are highly favored, and the Lord is with you." What a wonderful word of assurance. The number one, God's plan was pleasing to him, that is to Almighty God. Number two, God's plan was perplexing to her. God was speaking. Folks, every time God speaks to me, I want to shake in my boots. I rarely believe in America today, my friends, we're not doing enough shaking in our boots. I rarely believe that there are people going to church in the United States of America today who believe that church is nothing more than just a game. Rarely believe that God is speaking to the hearts of men and women and of boys and girls, and we're looking up into his face and treating him like he was just someone from next door. God's plan, when it was delivered, was very perplexing to her. Number three, God's plan when it was delivered was powerful for us. We're not going to be there, but when the baby Jesus was presented in the temple, Simeon looked up in chapter 2 and verse 30 and following. And he said, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Just think about that. So we've got three things juxtaposed together here about this plan. It was very pleasing to the heart of God because God is. This plan was conceived in his heart, and it was delivered by his messenger. But number two, it was very perplexing to the one who was about to receive the message. But praise God, in hindsight, we look back and understand that God's plan was so powerful for us. Simeon began that journey, didn't he? And he looked into the face of the baby Jesus, and he said, "My eyes have seen the glory of the Lord." I'm looking into the face of the redemption of mankind. Number four, now here you're going to have to really listen carefully. God's plan was implanted by the seed of God. God's plan was implanted. It was put there by the seed of God himself. Look at verse 35. "The angel answered and said, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you.'" You know, friends, as I began to study that, I asked myself a question. What is going on here? The virgin birth is a critical pillar of the Christian faith. If you do not believe in the Immaculate Conception, you cannot be a Christian. It's no different to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the other pillars and cornerstones of our Christian faith. Look what happened here. Here was a lady, espoused, engaged to be married. She had known no man, and the angel of God comes to her and says to her, "You are going to bring forth this child, and his name is Jesus, and this is how it's going to happen." Now watch this, folks. It's terribly exciting, very important. It is a marvelous thing to understand this concerning the virgin birth. Here's what happens. The implantation of the seed of God came about according to the Word of God by two means. Number one, the Holy Spirit came upon her. The Holy Spirit came upon her. And that word there, or that phrase, means that the Holy Spirit impregnated her. The Holy Spirit took hold of her. The Holy Spirit implanted her. The Holy Spirit was actively engaged in this immaculate conception that took place. You might say to me, Pastor, why does God single out the Holy Spirit? Remember, God always is, Jesus Christ always is, and the Holy Spirit always is. Now watch this. Why the Holy Spirit? What was His role? Well, the Holy Spirit came upon her, number one, because it is the Holy Spirit who reveals God. This is critically important in our Christian faith. How do we know that God is God? Because God, by His Spirit, is revealed to us by Himself through the one who is assigned the function and the purpose of revelation. That is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and when He came upon Mary, He was in the act or the action of making the revelation of God known to man. He was revealing Himself to man through the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't stop there. The Holy Spirit is not only the one who reveals God, but the Holy Spirit is the one who carries God to a lost and a dying world. Now, folks, watch this very carefully. And forgive me for my human portrayal of this. But maybe this will help you to understand it. Here's God in heaven. Now, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. We know that. But just for purposes of explanation, here is God in heaven. There is the earth with Mary, the sinful being. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. That speaks to the divine action of God in this marvelous thing that is about to take place because God so loved the world. So how did God get from heaven, not just to earth, but into the womb of one lady as a seed to become a fetus, to be squeezed down a birth canal, to begin the growth cycle into boyhood and manhood? It came by virtue of the actions and activities, if you please, the assignment of God through and by His Spirit. So here is the Spirit of God, who always is God, who is revealing God, but who carries God. And number three, it is the Holy Spirit who implants God in the heart of all people. How does God, who is so great and mighty, come to be so small to live in my heart? He does that by virtue of the implantation of the very person and fragrance and power and presence of God through His Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God who reveals God to me. It is the Spirit of God who carries God to me. It is the Spirit of God who implants God in me. All of these dynamics are taking place in who? The person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an immaculate conception. Folks, just think about the new birth. Just think about what Jesus said to Nicodemus and how it comes about. But I'm going to submit to you that not only did the implantation of the seed of God come about by virtue of the Holy Spirit who came upon her, but it came about by virtue of the Most High who overshadowed her. Why this discrepancy? The Holy Spirit, being who He is, God and Jesus, now the Most High God, is involved in this. Why did the Most High overshadow her? By the way, that word there, overshadows, really better rendered, possessed her completely, became one with her, fused her, totally encompassed her, became one in unity with her. Why the Most High? Well, number one, because the Most High is the one who authorizes the Holy Spirit to do His work. God gave permission. Number two, because the Most High is the one who empowered the Holy Spirit to do His work. And number three, because the Most High is the one who is the Spirit. Are you still with me this morning? I told you we're going to look way down. This is incredible, folks. This will transform your life as a believer. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I'm going to beg you to give your heart and life to Him today. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat and say yes to Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask our wonderful television audience to pick up the phone and to call that number on the screen right now and to talk to someone about Jesus Christ. What was taking place at this moment? Oh, the Holy Spirit came upon her. He was revealing God. He was carrying God. He was implanting and impregnating Mary with God as He impregnates the hearts of all who are lost. By whom? The Most High, who overshadowed her, the one who authorized the Spirit, the one who is the Spirit, the one who empowered the Spirit. What does all this mean, folks? What does it mean? Number five, means that this plan was accepted by the servant of God. What an incredible truth. Here's this incredible event taking place, conceived in the heart of God, delivered by the angel of God, troubling to the instrument of God, implanted by the seed of God, but accepted by the servant of God. Mary threw up her hand. She said, I'll do it. What happened to her? She became the servant of God. She became a witness to the mighty acts of God. And she became blessed of God. Just think about it. You say, Pastor, what do I need to do? How can I ever understand these things? Here it is. Hold up your hand and say, Lord, I give up. I don't understand all of this stuff, but I believe and I accept. Here's what God will do for you. You'll become His servant. You'll be a witness to His mighty acts, and you will be blessed.
The encouraging word has been such a tremendous blessing to me. I want to thank all of the encouraging word staff. The daily devotionals have encouraged me and helped me in my daily life. I thank God for the work that TEW does. And I know you are making such a difference all around the world. Thanks to you, I've returned to church and now have a church family that I can worship the Lord with.